Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome into the Arrowhead Addict podcast. Patrick Allen here with you as always. And today, right at the top of the show, I got my guy, Sports Illustrated's Matt Verderam. Verderam, been a little bit of an eventful week. The company that FanSided works for, Minute Media, now owns Sports Illustrated.
Yes. Yes.
Well, they don't own it. They're licensed. Well,
they're on the license.
They're the publisher. Yes.
They're on the license. So.
So I know there's a lot of uncertainty still around how all that transition will take place, but looks like yeah. You might be hanging around a little bit.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope they bring me over. That's the hope of everybody at Sports Illustrated. I will tell you that this week has both been exhilarating because I'm thrilled that Minute Media acquired the license. I've been hoping for that ever since that became potential news, and it came to fruition this week. That is great. I'm going to go ahead and say publicly that I'm pretty damn happy we're not going back to where we've been. No, this is awesome. I look forward to it. And I guess that means I'll be on Arrowhead Addict more often. I don't know. I don't know what the hell it means, I guess, in some ways, because I don't work for FanSided, but I work for the company that's owning both of our properties. I don't know exactly what it all means. Either way, yes, I'm happy it happened. Let's put it that way.
Back in the family, it's very exciting, I know, for Minute Media. And I certainly wish the best to everybody over there at Sports Illustrated. I know it's been a rough transition. There's a lot to figure out, but I hope everything goes great for everybody. So glad to see you as always, and glad to talk Chiefs with you. So let's get into that. So the theme of the show today is going to be what's the deal with the Chiefs, and I got a few questions here. I kind of want to know, and I'm sure a lot of Chiefs fans want to know, what's the deal with this, what's the deal with that, as we start marching towards the draft. Before we get into it, let me just let you guys know that DraftKings is offering a fantastic sign-up bonus for new users. New customers can place a $5 bet on any sport to instantly claim $150 in bonus bets when you sign up with our code, Arrowhead. The best part is that you'll receive your rewards even if your first bet loses. So using our code, Arrowhead, not only gets you these bonuses, but it directly supports this podcast. If you've been considering signing up for DraftKings, make sure to use the code, Arrowhead, to maximize your first bets. The offer is only available to new customers who are 21 and older and physically present in legal gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Check the episode description for the full terms to see if you qualify. And as I understand it, there's a sporting event going on this weekend that people might be interested in making a little bit of a wager on.
Yeah, March Madness typically is something that people like to bet on. Yeah. So I've been watching it. I've been enjoying it, as I always do. I agonize over my bracket, and then I realize that I don't know anything about any of these teams.
Right.
Because I am a casual St. John's fan. And so I always sit there and I'm like, why am I agonizing over this? Like Drake in Washington State, like who are you kidding?
Yeah.
You don't know any of these damn guys. I might as well be betting on like high school water polo.
Yeah.
As far as my knowledge of these teams. But yeah, I love it. I look forward to it every year. And I've been watching it as I've been working all day long today.
Yeah, when you and I used to work in an office together, it was always fun to just have all the games on and just be going from game to finish. You see some of these maniacs on like TikTok and Instagram who are like, I'm betting $100 on every underdog in the first round of March Madness. Can you imagine?
No, but there's also Gamblers Anonymous for those people, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just like, why would you do that unless you have so much money you don't care if you light it on fire, which point, like, donate it to somebody, give it to a good cause. By the way, speaking of gambling, not that this has anything to do with the Chiefs, but baseball may be about to get some attention it doesn't want. You've been following the Shohei Ohtani stuff.
I saw somebody talking about the Sports Illustrated curse, actually, but I've been too busy to dive in. What's going on?
I mean, I am giving the very, very, like, surface level cliff notes, but I guess eventually, like, or essentially, I should say, his interpreter, who is a Dodgers employee, is being fired, terminated, whatever language you want to use, because allegedly he has committed massive theft, which is, you know, in the neighborhood of $4.5 million for gambling. But then there are other people who are like, well, how did the interpreter get $4.5 million of Shohei Ohtani's money? Like, he's not his accountant. He's not his money manager. So, like, that seems odd. And then there's been this, like, speculation of, like, well, is there any involvement in terms of, like, did the player know, you know, what's going on there? And I got to tell you, I have no clue what the outcome is. None. I have no inside info. It's baseball. It's not football. I have no idea. But if it comes out in any way, shape, or form that Ohtani even bet like $8 on a game, you just signed a $700 million contract.
Yeah.
So, like, look, who knows? Maybe Ohtani was completely in the dark and he has no idea, and that could be possible. But, man, like, what if you're the Dodgers and you get that coming across your desk? Like, what happened?
Yeah.
Not great.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then, yes, of course, he was on the SI cover, and the SI cover was mentioning money. So, like, that's pretty apropos.
Well, let's keep Patrick Mahomes off that cover. By the way, I did just realize, just before we went on, actually, that they played a regular season baseball game already, but, like, there's, like, a week of spring training left for everybody. Yeah,
who the hell knows?
Wait, what are they doing?
I saw that they were over in, what was it, Seoul, I think it was. And I, honest to God, I thought it was just like a couple exhibition games. Yeah, we'll go international, all that kind of stuff. And then somebody on my Twitter feed was like, no, these games are, like, they count the regular season games. And I was like, why? Like, what is the – so – and look, as an A's fan, or at this point, honestly, pretty much a former A's fan, I remember the A's had to do that once or twice where they played like Seattle, and it made sense because Seattle always had like Ichiro, and so there was this massive draw. But like the damn season starting at 4 a.m. Eastern time,
right.
And then they would go back to spring training. And, like, this is the dumbest thing. Like, who the hell? It's like if the NFL said, listen, we're going to open up the season over in Zaire. And we're going to play the games at 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then after that, two more preseason games.
Right.
You're like, what the hell are we doing? Like, what's happening?
It's so
only stupid. Baseball could screw this up to the extent that they do.
Yeah. Imagine, like, having to have played a game that counted. And then, like, you're looking over, the Guardians are playing the Royals in a meaningless game 3 days later.
It's so dumb, man.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, enough about baseball, God almighty. Let's talk about the Chiefs. The day after the last time you were on the show, which was last week, we talked a lot about what the Chiefs were going to do at the wide receiver position, and then they answered shortly thereafter and signed Hollywood Brown. What do you make of the signing? First of all, do you think he's a good fit for the Chiefs, and were you surprised they got him for as little as they did?
I was surprised. I thought, talking to people around the league, going into free agency, the expectation was like $15 million a year, something like $3 and $45 million. And he ended up getting 1 and 7 or up to 11. Like that did surprise me. Now, look, some of it might be smart business by Hollywood Brown, who sits there and says, market's exploding. Salary cap is exploding. And I can reset my value with Patrick Mahomes for 1 year and then go out and get paid, whether it's in Kansas City or presumably somewhere else. You could do a lot worse in that situation if you're Hollywood. Now, listen, you'd rather get 3 and 45 or something, you know, of that ilk. But if you're not going to get that, then this is a smart avenue to take. And I would argue, look, I'd rather have Hollywood Brown at 1 and 7 than Curtis Samuel at 3 and 24. Certainly Gabe Davis at 3 and 35. And my God, Calvin Ridley at 4 and 92.
Yeah.
Honest question. And granted, this isn't just about the receivers, because this is also factoring in their situations. Who has more receiving yards next year, Marquise Brown or Calvin Ridley?
I wouldn't be surprised if it was Hollywood Brown.
It's probably Hollywood Brown. Yeah. Like, when you really think about it, it's probably Hollywood Brown. And the Chiefs paid him $85 million less than Calvin Ridley. So, yeah, like I think it's a really good signing, because A, I think he's a good player. And B, you're now not pigeonholed in the first round of the draft. You're not sitting there going, all right, we got to take a receiver. And whoever the best receiver on the board is, that's what we're taking. Now you're in a spot where it's like, you know what? We could take a receiver still, but we could take an edge rusher if there's a guy that falls that we love, or we could take a left tackle. You're not beholden to one position. I think that's huge.
I think if you look at the guy too, it's – look, I'm not trying to throw any shade on Lamar Jackson, but – we all know that downfield passing, particularly back when Hollywood first joined the Ravens, was not Lamar's forte. It wasn't the thing that he was best at.
Right.
And it wasn't his strength. So this guy comes in. He's a first-round pick, 25th overall by the Ravens in 2019. He has a rookie season, 500 yards, you know, receiving, 7 touchdowns. Not bad for a rookie. Then he comes back. He catches 58 balls for 769. And then in his third year, he catches 91 balls. He gets targeted 146 times, goes over 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. And the Ravens trade him. Why do you think they did that when it seemed like, okay, here's a guy, we took him in the first round, and he seems to be getting better every year?
Because the Cardinals gave up a first-round pick. I think that was the main reason. Yeah. The Cardinals gave up a first-round pick for Hollywood Brown when, with all due respect to Hollywood, they could have given up a first-round pick for A.J. Brown. That was an interesting decision by a Cardinals team that is about 100 years deep in interesting decisions. I think that's why. You know, I think Baltimore basically just got a value that they couldn't refuse. And he went to Arizona, and he's played okay there, but the reality is they've had nothing there. I mean, they've had, you know, Murray's been hurt for half that time. And when Murray's been hurt, it's been, you know, Clayton Tune and Joshua Dobbs. And I can't remember, Trace McSorley, I think, in 2022, if that's even a real name, I think he was there. It's just been tough. Like, he really hasn't had the quarterback play or anywhere near it that he's going to have. And to your point, it's not a knock on Lamar Jackson. When Hollywood Brown was there, that's how they played. They ran the ball a ton. They had Greg Roman as their OC. Doesn't mean, and yes, Alan, yes, I am into the Easter candy early. I got the Reese's Pieces eggs right next to me. Incredibly, I've limited myself to like two a day, which is almost impossible. But yes, this is obviously the best scenario that Brown has ever been in. I don't think that's a real big stretch to say that, considering he's got Patrick Mahomes and he's being flanked by Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce. I mean, yes, I think this sets up for him to be a very productive player in 2024.
Yeah, and keep in mind, too, also, along with Kyler Murray being injured a lot of the time, Hollywood Brown had a couple injuries, and he also, they changed head coaches in the 2 years that he was there.
Right.
So yep. It doesn't mean that he's going to come to Kansas City and go for 1,600 yards or something, but he could very well have his best season. He's going to be coming in to an offense that's well-established with the best quarterback in the world, with two other very good receiving options.
Yeah.
This is with a good running back, like, this is a great situation to walk into if you're Hollywood Brown. I think you're right. He signs this one-year deal because, as you pointed out, there's a big market still for wide receivers. If he has a banana season with the Chiefs and wins a Super Bowl, goes for 1,200 yards or something, and he's a free agent, he's going to get paid.
He's going to get paid.
Yeah. And a lot more than he could have gotten for a multi-year deal probably this year, where he's probably valued right now as a wide receiver too.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think most teams view him as a higher tier number two. Whereas, to your point, because that's 1,200 yards this year, which, listen, would be a career year and would be probably more than anyone's expecting. But if he does it, yeah, then you're looking at him going, man, he's a number one. He's in his mid-20s. Look at the year he just had. He's in his prime. It changes things. And as we all know, in free agency, all it takes is one. All it takes is one team. I mean, Robert Hunt just got paid $100 million to play guard for the Carolina Panthers. And I would guess that most people who follow the NFL have no idea who Robert Hunt is. All it took was one team to go, hey, he's worth $100 mil. Boom. There you go. Like, so yeah, if Hollywood has a great year, absolutely. It can change your entire financial trajectory.
And if you're competent in this Chiefs offense, we've seen time and time again, you bring in a rookie like Rashee Rice, who's talented, goes for 1,000 yards. You bring in Juju Smith-Schuster, who looks like he might be toast, comes in, I think he had like 700 yards for the Chiefs, was more productive than he had been and than he was when he left. If you're competent, you will be able to produce in this offense. Right. I'm really excited about it. He's got good speed. Chiefs will be able to use him, stretch the field a little bit, open things up underneath for Rice and Kelce. It's exactly what the Chiefs need. It's an upgrade. And as you pointed out, now they don't have any really big holes to fill. Yep. Yes, there's the I'm more worried, I think, about left tackle than everybody else, just because I'm not sure what the deal is with Wanya Morris yet. But they can go into this draft and sit there at 32 and see who's available. Or if there's a guy they really like, they can move up to go get somebody. So this is Brett Veach just sort of sitting on the throne here. If they're not able to sign Hollywood Brown in this situation, you've got to take a receiver in the first round. Now, because you've got Rashee Rice, because you've got Hollywood Brown next year, if there's not a guy there that you like, a receiver, take a tackle, take a pass rusher, you know, take a safety, take a cornerback. They really have their pick of the litter, I would say, at this point. Would you agree?
Yeah, they do. They do. Thank you for holding down the fort. My daughter was demanding a snack.
Yeah.
Listen, I think you're to a point at least where you're not, again, You're not beholden to just, it's got to be this position. I don't care what any GM says. Every GM gives the same BS line when they walk up to the podium after the first round. They're like, tell you what, got the guy we wanted. No, you didn't. 90% of the time, that guy's off the board. And you end up with, you know, three or four guys you're happy with. And you pick from that pool. The Chiefs this year can go into this draft and say, we're going to take two or three positions and prioritize them. And whoever's best out of that pool is who we're going to take. Like, the whole BPA thing's nonsense. Like, if the best player available on their board is Michael Penix Jr., 32, they're not taking him. Okay? Like, they're going to take the BPA of receiver, of tackle, and maybe throw in another position like an edge rusher, a corner if they trade need, whatever the case may be, although I don't think it'd be that with McDuffie. But yeah, that's reality. And I do think there is an element of, hey, now we're not forced to do something that we maybe really don't want to do, but when looking at the roster, we really don't have a choice. Now that you've got Hollywood Brown, you've saved yourself from that problem, which is a real problem, because you don't want to be in a spot where you're taking the sixth best receiver when the third best tackle's there, but you feel like you have to take the receiver.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money
at Menards. If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
So when I was prepping for the show, as you know, the Arrowhead Addict podcast has a membership. If you're interested, check out the link in the description below. And there's the highest tier that we have is we have a private Discord for all the members, but there's a special channel for our most ardent supporters called the Ring of Honor. And sometimes those guys get to have input in what the show is going to be. So I was asking them for some topics, and they threw out some and helped me kind of come up with the idea for the show today. And one of them, our guy Jeremy, said he wanted to know, you know, Veach runs laps around the league and other GMs, even the good ones, and it isn't talked near enough about. And he wanted to hear us talk about that. Do you think Veach is the best GM in the NFL right now? And do you think he gets the credit he deserves?
I think he's one of them, if he's not the best one. I think he and Howie Roseman are the two best GMs. And I don't think it's a coincidence that they work together in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I think those two guys are right at the top of the list. Veach does such an incredible job at finding value, and that's especially in the draft, right? I mean, we always talk about the DBs because he's done an amazing job with that. But even kind of like Isaiah Pacheco, Trey Smith, you could sit there and argue Trey Smith, well, he fell because of medical. Okay, well, anybody else could have taken him. Like, the Chiefs took him. Creed Humphrey at the end of the second round. Nick Bolton at the end of the second round. Jarius Sneed in the fourth round. Joshua Williams in the fourth round. Leo Chenal in the third round, Brian Cook, end of the second round. I mean, and all these rounds that I'm reeling off, they're all at the end of the rounds. I mean, it's not like they're taking any of these guys early on, right? I mean, they were able to trade back, and they were able to get Chris Jones. Now, that was in the Dorsey regime, but Veach, of course, part of that front office. They have just done an amazing job at being able to draft incredibly well. I mean, you could argue, their day two selections over the last 5 years have been better than almost any other team's day one selections. That's insane. Like, and I'm even talking about teams drafting in the top five, top 10. Like, that's when your general manager and your scouting department come to the forefront. Any dope could sit there and go, you know what? I think Caleb Williams at one. And no kidding. I mean, I could sit there and do that. It's the team that can draft guys who are good, pick 60, pick 90, pick 125. I mean, that's where a lot of these teams, you look at the draft classes, they have one big hit and then everybody else stinks. The Chiefs, a lot of times, have multiple hits throughout, and that's where I think Veach is really underrated.
You know, he's done such a good job of building this roster, and as you pointed out, finding value in the late rounds, finding guys who contribute. And I was thinking about the Packers or the Jets roster the other day when they signed Mike Williams, because I was like, God, I feel like the Jets, they have some young guys, but I felt like they were old. And I counted how many players the Jets had under age 24 or younger. And it was like 18 or 19 players on their roster. What's your guess? How many players on the Chiefs right now are 24 or younger?
24 and younger. 26.
30. 30 players. And these are not just like, yeah, some of these guys are, you know, practice squad, you know, Truman Jones. But like, listen to some of these names that are on that list. Nick Jones, FAU, Carl Loftus, Chanel, Jamari Connor, Trent McDuffie, Wanye Morris, Rashi Rice, Nick Bolton, Brian Cook, Noah Gray, Creed Humphrey. Okay. I mean, it's like these are players for this team. These are contributors or guys who are going to contribute significantly. I didn't mention Sky Moore, but he's there too. It's incredible that they just won the Super Bowl and they've got 30 guys under the age of 24 right now.
Yeah, no, they're, I mean, and that's why they're so set up. That's why they're so staggering. They have been able to, and I didn't mention Rashi Rice when I did all this. I meant like they, Jamari Connor's another one. Like they just draft these guys and they just keep coming in and it's like an assembly line. And part of that is Veach in the front office. Part of that is coaching staff. Part of that is being able to take a guy and accentuate his strengths and minimize his weaknesses and work on those weaknesses so they at least get to where they're like acceptable levels. They're amazing at that. I mean, look, when they first got Jamari Connor, I remember talking to somebody around the team inside the building who was like, at the end of training camp, who said, look, this kid's really good. And then like early in the year, he didn't really play much. And part of that was a function of he's behind Cook and he's behind Edwards and Reed. And then Cook gets hurt and you're like, man, Jamari Connor, like, he's playing really well. And then Edwards got hurt in that playoff game against Buffalo. And you're like, you know what? Not a problem. Going to just slap this guy in there for every snap of the game from here on out. It's no problem. Not even a little bit of a drop off. Like, terrific. That is so much of how they win, but it's also just like, it's finding guys who fit the right roles. I mean, look at Mike Pinnell in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
A guy who, like, nobody in the league is clamoring for Mike Pinnell, but who just does his job on this team exceedingly well. And they rewarded him with a 1-year deal. And I think sometimes, you know, it's like the Nick Allegretti's, who was a late round pick, who most of the league would be like, whatever, he's kind of a guy, he's a backup, he's a guy comes in, has to replace Joe Tooney, and like just steps in and does the job. Torn UCL and all. Like, hey man, I'm gonna block for 80 snaps. Got it, no problem. It's not only drafting talent, it's drafting the right fits, it's drafting a culture, it's understanding who you're bringing in, both as a person and a professional. And they've done that as well, if not better than anybody in the last half decade.
And it's obviously it's Mahomes and it's Kelsey.
Yeah.
But like this team, they win as a team. It's different now for me than it was in the first iteration of this team with Hill and Kelsey, because it felt like those guys, they just dominated and it was them. Now you're like the play that Snead made in the AFC Championship game, the plays
that play of the year.
It's just, there's always somebody making a play for them, rookies. And when you have a true team that's not just relying on one player or a couple of players, but it's really just kind of beautiful to watch. And you just never know who the hero of the game is going to be. And it really, as much as the Chiefs may hate to admit it, it feels a whole hell of a lot like the Patriots teams with Brady and Belichick, where it was just a win factory for 20 years.
I think to the point about New England, because I've been watching, have you watched it all on Apple TV? They have a show, a documentary. It's like 10 parts, I think, called Dynasty.
I haven't started it yet.
It's very good. I'm through, I think, like 7 parts of it. And, you know, part of it is a little bit like Belichick basically treats it like as the hostage negotiation, which would be nice if like Bill could, you know, breathe a little bit and maybe, you know, talk about 20 years of unparalleled success. But it's interesting listening to some of the players, and you know, Tom Brady, I think, is really insightful in it. But there's just a lot of focus, not even so much, I mean, partially in the interviews, but partially just in like the old footage they show. These guys had roles, they knew their roles, they did their job phenomenally. And of course, that was like the mantra for 20 years in New England, do your job. And in Kansas City, I don't think it was like copying New England, but I just think that is a staple of being successful at that level, it is doing your job to the best of your ability. Look, Mahomes has the biggest job in the team, and he knows it, and he's paid for it. His job is more important than somebody else's job, but his job is ultimately a failure if Mike Pinnell doesn't do his job, if Leo Chenal doesn't do his job, if Mike Edwards doesn't do his job. I mean, you have to do your job. Don't do more than the next guy. Just do what you're tasked to do, and you'll succeed. And that really is, I think, what has made them so successful. It is guys who have just come into their roles. Drew Tranquil is a perfect example of it. Hey, man, need you to come in, play some outside linebacker, play some inside in a pinch. Okay, well, now Bolton got hurt. Now we need you to be the guy who's going to just run the defense. You've been here for 4 months. We're going to need you to run the defense. Okay, well, now Bolton's back. Okay, can you play some weak or some Sam? Hey, can you play some split safety? need you to drop back in some split safety. That's the stuff. Like, they do their jobs. They do their jobs, and they're ruthlessly efficient. And, you know, when you factor in all the talent and the coaches and everything else, that's what makes them as great as they've been.
All right. Well, speaking of other things that need to get sorted out here with the Chiefs and guys who did their job, and we just mentioned him, L'Jarius Sneed. What's the deal with L'Jarius Sneed this week? A lot of drama over the weekend on Twitter. You have some NFL reporters saying, hey, the Colts, Chiefs, it's really close, including Diana Rossini, who's really tapped in and well-respected. Then you have Adam Schefter get on TV and say they have not had any discussions. Now, I believe you've heard differently as well. What's going on? Why is Schefter saying, did he like misspeak or was he thinking? Like, everyone's really confused. What's happening?
Okay, so I spent a large chunk of my Saturday reporting on this, and then also like throughout the earlier part of this week. Adam Schefter said the Chiefs and the Colts have not had conversations. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what he said. I can tell you unequivocally that maybe the Chiefs front office hasn't had conversation. That I can't speak to. Well, Jerry Sneed has had conversations with the Colts. That is point blank, that is a fact. Now, I was told that on Saturday. Now, on Monday, I was told that because of the price that Sneed's asking for, that the Colts are out, that they're not involved in the negotiations for his rights anymore. Now, could they circle back? Of course they could. But as of right now, they're not involved. I was told the Lions and the Falcons going into free agency were the hottest teams on Sneed's trail, but Sneed is asking for money that is prohibitive. That it is well north of $20 million per year, and teams do not want to make him the highest paid corner in NFL history. I think part of that is he's 27. I think part of that is even though he got snubbed to no end last year, he has never been an all-pro. He's never been a Pro Bowler. I think part of it also is he missed all summer long with his knee injury. And I do think there is some concern, like, is that knee okay? Is it going to hold up long term? It held up during the season, to be fair, but he had to miss some practices with knee injuries, stuff like that. So I do think there's a concern of how much of that had to be managed, how much has to be managed going forward. The Lions then filled their needed corner with Carlton Davis, although they just had to release Cam Sutton due to some very ugliness, very ugly stuff off the field, alleged stuff off the field. But the Lions went and traded for Carlton Davis. The Falcons spent a fortune on offense in free agency. I was told Saturday the Colts and the Titans are the teams most interested, then told on Monday that the Colts had dropped out. So it leaves Tennessee. The problem with Tennessee is they don't have a third-round pick. And I think they're unwilling to give up their second-round pick because it's high. There was a report out there, well, would the Chiefs give up their 2020 – or excuse me, would the Chiefs take Tennessee's 2025 third-rounder? And me, like, why? Why would you if you're Kansas City? At that point, let them walk and take a comp pick. The one thing I can tell you for sure that I was told on no uncertain terms were – the Chiefs will let him play on the tag. That they're fine with that. But if he plays in Kansas City, it's going to be on the tag. That there is not going to be a long-term extension. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the Chiefs have very good young corners. And they have to extend Humphrey and Bolton and maybe Trey Smith. And so I think that's kind of where we are. But if Sneed's asking price on the financial side of this thing doesn't diminish, he's not moving. Like, no team is giving him what he wants at the moment.
How do you think it all ends up playing out? Does he end up staying in Kansas City on the tag, or does Sneed regroup with his agent and say, all right, the market's not there for what we wanted? They've got a decision to make, right? And it's, do you want long-term security for less than you'd hoped, or do you want to play in Kansas City one more year for a really nice salary and roll the dice that you're not going to get hurt and that there'll be a market there for you next year.
Right. I think it's 50-50 right now. I mean, look, he'd love a long-term deal, but he would love a long-term deal at a price he's not going to get. So I would say, knowing everything I know about this whole deal, he should lower his price and he should go for 19 or 20 million bucks and he should take a deal elsewhere and the Chiefs should move on. Now, that being said, from the Chiefs' perspective, I think the Chiefs are fine playing him on the tag. I don't think the Chiefs are all that broken up about it, but I think they're trying to do right by him. Like, look, man, if you can go out and get 480, take 480, do it. Like, and we'll execute a trade as long as we can get fair value here. Like, we'll do it. But I thought a couple weeks ago, that this was like 80-20 he was going to get traded. I think it's more like a coin flip now.
Yeah.
I think if we get past the draft, I think they'll just keep him on the tag. At that point, I think it's like, look, might as well now. So these next 5 weeks are going to be interesting. It's a fluid situation. Things can change rapidly, but I think that's where we're at right now.
Could you see a situation where he gets traded during the draft?
It's possible. That's always a little harder just because at that point teams are focused on so many different things. But it's possible. I would say it's more likely if he's going to get dealt, he gets dealt before it, but it's not impossible. We have seen Hollywood Brown got traded during the draft. AJ Brown got traded during the draft. It does happen.
Yeah.
It does happen.
It could be a situation where a team has a guy they like. They want to see if they can get him. Maybe it's Tennessee. Maybe Tennessee's sitting there with that second round pick. They don't get who they want. Call Kansas City. Tell them we'll take Snead. It'll be interesting. As a Chiefs fan, what would you prefer? Especially if it might be hard for them to get a second round pick for him. But a third round pick is generous. Now, he was a fourth round pick. You got a whole contract out of him, two Super Bowls. So you're the Chiefs.
Right.
You have already gotten incredible value. He could walk for nothing, and it's worked out great for you. Are you happy with a third round pick for L'Jarius Sneed, or would you rather have him back next year for 1 year?
I mean, I think you're right in that that's probably the value here because of the contract that he's also going to garner. And I know Chiefs fans, a lot of them are like, he's got to be worth more than that. Yeah, he is on the surface, but like he's going to get paid a ton of money. So that's where it's hard. Like teams don't want to give up a premium pick and give up, you know, $80 million. I think if the Chiefs do this, it's probably a third rounder. If I were Kansas City, and he got a contract extension agreed upon somewhere else, I wouldn't jam the kid up. I'd tell him, hey, man, thank you. Go get your money. But, I got to be honest. At this point, if I'm the Chiefs, I'm also like, look, you're a really good player. And if we don't get the value we want for you, like it's not going to happen. So I would prefer just from a fan's perspective that they keep him for one more year. Because to me, going all out for the three-peat is worth more than some late third-round pick. It just is. But, you know, that's my opinion. I think a GM might look at it differently and say, well, you know, we need to get something for him. And, you know, I also think realistically you could get a comp pick. Now, maybe it's not a third-rounder, maybe it's a fourth-rounder or whatever, but like an extra year and a fourth-round pick is better to me than no extra year and a third-round pick.
Yeah, and look, if he plays well, you probably are going to get a third round pick for him. If he's healthy and he plays well again next year. Now there's all kinds of things that could happen. It's a formula. So if the Chiefs sign a big free agent,
correct,
it could cancel it out. So you can't count on it, but third round pick or an all pro caliber corner for a year. I think I'd take the all pro caliber corner. See if I can win another Super Bowl with this defense, which right now could be even better next year with some young guys growing up.
Right. And I think that's how a lot of people feel. I think a lot of people feel like, hey, man, I'd rather just take the guy. I mean, take the player and go forward. I don't think that you're alone in that assessment. Again, I think there's a lot of value in going for it and just going for the three-peat. But, you know, it's all going to depend on what price tag he's demanding and then go from there.
All right. Next topic here. This one's for me. And I know this is what all the people want to know. Everybody's sitting at home thinking about this, wondering about it. What's the deal with Kadarius Toney? Now, I've seen a lot of fans on Twitter who maybe aren't as tapped in. They're not following so closely about all the cap stuff and implications. And they're like, I often see fans say, like, why haven't we cut Kadarius Toney yet? And obviously you and I know Kadarius Toney was traded from the Giants. He's a first round pick. So there's the fifth round option's out the window. That's not getting picked up. But he has one more year left on his deal. It's a fully guaranteed deal. So he's going to cost the Chiefs $2.5 million next year, regardless of whether or not he's on the roster or not.
Right.
So what do you think the Chiefs should do with Kadarius Toney? Is he too big of a pain in the ass, and should they just cut him and make roster room and eat it? Or should they keep him around and bench him just in case? Or should they continue to try this reclamation project?
I'd cut him yesterday. I would try to go back in time and cut him yesterday. I think he is to use the term you used, a pain in the ass, and not worthwhile. Like, what has he done? I mean, yes, he had one incredible punt return. That's great. It was a huge reason they won that Super Bowl. Fine. He was a net negative last year. He was atrocious. Not like, oh, he was decent. He was okay. He was kind of underway. I helped the Chiefs win the Super Bowl last year more than Kadarius Toney. Okay.
It's true.
Yeah, because I didn't drop the ball 1,000 times. I was more of a net neutrality for the Chiefs than Kadarius Toney, who stunk beyond words and then had the audacity to just shoot his mouth off left and right. Like, look, I done. And I think they will cut him. I mean, the reality is they're not saving the cap space, so there's no real need to do it immediately. I think he's gone. I will be very, very surprised. I think Sky Moore will be back. I do not think Kadarius Toney will be back. I don't think he should be back. What the hell has he done? If I were the Chiefs, I would move off of him pronto.
Do you think that they might try to wait until after the draft, just see where their receivers are at, and then dangle him to somebody for, like, see if somebody bites on, like, a conditional seventh round pick?
Oh, that's not going to happen.
You don't think anybody's going to touch him with a 10-foot pole?
20-foot pole, man. I don't think anybody is trading for him. I there's no value. And when you factor in what a sideshow the guy's been, no, I think it's over. I can't. Anybody trading for him would need to be surveyed for brainwaves at this point. I can't imagine. And if the Chiefs don't cut him, it's a failure. I mean, just move on. Eat it. The third round pick's gone. It is what it is. You tried. Okay. There's no shame in taking a swing. It didn't work out. Move on.
I'd argue it worked out. He helped you win a Super Bowl.
He did. I mean, if you want to look at it that way, sure. I look at it as he was a disaster for most of the time he was in Kansas City, or he was hurt. But listen, you know, in the spirit of March Madness, he did have his one shining moment.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot to pay for one play. But if I told you the Chiefs give up a third round pick for a guy that's going to have one good play for them, but it's going to help them win the Super Bowl, you'd have signed up for it.
Probably. If you want to look at it that way,
yeah,
that's fair.
Got to find the bright side. All right. So what's the deal at running back for the Chiefs? You've got Pacheco, great. There's a couple free agents. I've seen people suggest J.K. Dobbins, which I think is just
he's always hurt.
He's
man.
Hurt. I mean, I don't know if he can come back
all the time.
But who else is out there? I mean, are they going to draft somebody? Should they go get another veteran? Is it the P. Ryan, these practice squad guys?
I'd like to see him get a veteran. I mean, that's just me. I'd like to see them do that, but I don't. They've kind of sat here and waited and waited and waited. So, I mean, you could argue that at this point, they're kind of up a creek. But I would like to see P. Ryan would be interesting. You know, maybe they even go back and they take one of these guys like C.H. or McKinnon, just run him back for another year. And I know, look, the C.H. and people are going to be like, oh my God, look, if he's your backup running back, like, it's fine. Like so maybe they do that. I don't love the draft. But yeah, they got to find somebody. They got to find somebody. There's no question. And look, I thought maybe Eckler would be a good fit. And I thought for the money he got paid, they could have given it to him, but they didn't. I would have liked to have seen a veteran, me personally, but they have not, they've not made that move yet. So we'll have to wait and see what happens.
You know, I had a fever dream that they signed Derrick Henry and would actually be able to pick up a third and short. That didn't happen, unfortunately. He's in Baltimore.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I mean, nice thought. But yeah, the third and shorts, I think, remain elusive here for the Chiefs.
How about that fit with the Ravens, though? I mean, if those guys get in, they're basically going to be like Philadelphia. They get in the third and short, you just might as well just jump off sides and give them the first down.
Yeah, they're going to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, now they still are. I don't know how you feel about the Derrick Henry signing in Baltimore. There's part of me that's like, that's cool signing. There's another part of me that's just kind of like, I don't know. Like, aren't you kind of still then the same damn team that you've been, like, just with a different name? It just strikes me as odd, but that's just me. Maybe other people would feel differently.
I think it's just cool if you're a fan of him, because it's just
sure
the natural fit, right? Like that's the kind of team and the kind of offense that you'd like to see him run in, and it'll be cool and everything. But yeah, I don't know how much better the Ravens are than they were before.
Right.
You know, Gus Edwards ran well for them as a kind of hammer back. And but now you got Derrick Henry. I'll tell you what though. If they can get him into the second level, which Tennessee struggled with last year.
Right.
Look out.
No, listen, there's no arguing that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, yeah, 1,000%. I just wonder, like, if Henry's got enough left in the tank here. But maybe in Baltimore, maybe that helps prolong his career.
Yeah.
Like he's still a scary player. There's no question about that. I just think Baltimore, like, this is what you've been forever. Just pound it, pound it, pound it, pound it, pound the team. And it's like, all right, well, at some point, like, that hasn't worked. But maybe they feel like they're getting closer and they're just going to keep going that route.
He's one of my favorite players to watch in the whole league. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see how that works out. All right. Next up here, what's the deal? This one, I think, came from, the Common Shaman, our buddy in the Discord, said, what's the deal with Harbaugh and the Chargers? Can he turn them around, and how fast will he do it? Will the chart, like, we've been so blessed for just a lineup of incompetence in the Chargers organization for so many years as Chiefs fans. This is a guy who is not an incompetent coach.
Right.
Saw it in San Francisco. He went to Michigan. It took him a little while to get him turned around, but he did it. He won a national championship, still missing that Super Bowl ring. Does he turn things around there in LA?
Yeah, I mean, I think he will in time. I don't think he's going to do it this year because that team is not good this year. But I think in a couple of years, yeah, I think he probably does. He has proven that he can do it anywhere. He went to San Francisco, he did it. He went to Michigan, he did it. He burns people out because he's so intense. But yeah, I think in 2025, they're like respectable. In 2026, yeah, they're probably pretty good if they make some good moves. I think they will turn it around, but I don't think it's going to be this year, man. They're just not good talent wise. They have a lot of deficiencies.
You got to figure he's going to have the best quarterback, with all due respect to Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick. He'll have the best quarterback he's ever had as a coach at this level.
Yes, no question. No question about that. I mean, I don't think there's even an argument. It'll be very interesting to see how that thing looks this year as they're trying to figure it out, because obviously it's a total rebuild right now.
Yeah.
Williams is gone. Allen's gone. Eckler's gone. Gerald Everett's gone. Mac is gone after this year. You know, like Asante Samuel Jr. is free agent after this year. Like, there's a lot to be figured out. But I do agree. Look, I think they'll figure it out at some point. I could make an argument, by the way. I was doing this actually on the MMQB podcast today. We're talking about some of the rosters around the league. As bad as I think the Chargers might be this year, you can make a real argument Denver's got the worst roster in football. So this is not going to be a very strong division for Kansas City. I'd be shocked if there are two playoff teams in the AFC West.
Do you think it ultimately, you know, the style of football that Harbaugh coaches, I was not surprised. I know some Chargers fans were surprised when they got rid of both Mike Williams and Keenan Allen and kept the two defenders in Bosa and Mack. I wasn't surprised about that because, to me, that's what Jim Harbaugh wants. He wants to set the tone immediately. Even if those guys aren't there when they reach where he hopes to reach, he wants to set a tone for how they're going to play football. Does that maybe help the Chiefs out a little bit? I mean, it's good to go up in your division against some hard-nosed opponents that play defense, that like to run the football. Chiefs haven't always been great at stopping the run. Is it kind of an iron sharpens iron situation if they do kind of get it together?
Yeah, I think it's if you're the Chargers, you got to establish a culture, because the last couple of years there's been no culture. That's a problem. Their culture's been losing. Their culture's been blowing leads. Their culture has been, you're going to charger at some point, right? Like, when your team's a verb, it's not great. I think Sean Payton's trying to turn that culture around Denver right now. It's hard. It's a hard thing to do. You know, I think if Andy Reid's accomplishments in Kansas City, and there are many of them, maybe the greatest, just coming in single-handedly in 1 year, he and Alex Smith just boom, like 11-5. You could sit there and say, well, it was fool's gold, that team. Yeah, but that's not the point. Like, they learned how to win football games. That is a hard thing to do. The Raiders have been trying to do it for 20 years. And I'm not saying it to be funny. I mean it. Like, the Raiders have been trying to win football games for 20 years. It's hard. When you're used to losing, you typically find ways to lose. And when you win a lot, find ways to win games. And I think right now in the AFC West, there's one team that is the ultimate example of what I just said. And then there are three teams that, frankly, they find ways to lose. And I think it's going to be a lot of kind of churning over and trying to find that right mix for all these teams.
You know, I saw a guy on Twitter this week, and he was tweeting about the big hit that Derwin James had where he body slammed Travis Kelce. And I kind of chuckled because I said, you know, I remember what it was like where the highlight for me for a season was a highlight that my team made in a game that my team lost in a season that was ultimately incredibly disappointing. And I remembered one of my favorite plays in Chiefs history was Mark Bradley throwing that touchdown pass to Tyler Thigpen. If you remember, they pitched it to Jamaal Charles, who bobbled it, caught it. He pitched it to Bradley. Bradley threw it to Thigpen. It was wide open. It was a really nice throw. Chiefs lost the game, of course, as they did all but one game that Thigpen started and finished the season 2-14. That got them Andy Reid. Do you have a favorite play? Somebody else shared with me, I think it was from 2012, when the Chiefs blocked a punt against the Buccaneers. The punter picked it up and ran through the back of the end zone. And then he tried to throw a pass, and it got intercepted and returned for a touchdown. Do you have a play from the dog, like, horrible era of the Chiefs that is your favorite, like, highlight or memory?
Yeah, probably Rivers fumbling that snap. Studebaker recovered
on Halloween.
Yeah. On that football. And it was like, that was like a great Chiefs moment. And, you know, that team, God.
That set up, by the way, the call, because Studebaker almost ran it back, but got tackled, but set up the call. The Studebakers run out of gas.
Yeah. Studebaker was like somehow like a good player for the Chiefs for a little while. I can think of like the year they made the playoffs with Castle and Charles had the touchdown run against Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
And for a brief second, you know, they could win this game. And then they gained 50 yards.
Yeah.
It was just awful.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, those are the moments like you had to hold on to back then, because that was pretty much all you had.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we get annoyed when there's not a highlight, crazy highlight in a game that they win. We're just right. Like, oh, it was kind of a boring win.
Yes.
I'll take it. I'll take it. Okay. That was it for my big questions. We got to get to Patty's power rankings here. Shout out to our members for hooking us up with some ideas. Again, if you want to become part of the community, we got a March Madness bracket going on right now, which I don't know if Richard sent that to you, Vertoram. I don't think he did.
Involved. It's very hurtful.
That's yeah. You have to take it up with Richard after the show. We had a March Madness bracket. We do fantasy football leagues. Again, the private Discord. We talk Chiefs. We talk all kinds of other things. Ring of Honor members sometimes get input on what we're going to do on the show, get to ask questions. So check it out if you want to become part of the community. So for Patty's power rankings, I forget who suggested this one. Don't have it handy, but Mexican food. So let's rank our top three Mexican food dishes. Oh, it was a guy, Raymond Chandler. Thank you, Richard, is the one who suggested this one for Patty's power ranking. So I'm going to kick us off, and I'm going to go fajita for number three for me. Love a good fajita. Kind of fun when they bring it out to you, you know, and all the accoutrements there, and then you just kind of build it yourself exactly how you want it. Longtime favorite of mine. What about you?
Man. I do love Mexican food. Just trying to think of, like, I don't want to forget anything. So I'm a big like patatas. They're basically like potatoes, but they have like the, like this, I don't know what you'd call it, like Southwest sauce on it, whatever. Those things are great.
Yeah.
I get them. There's a place down the street from me that I go to, shout out to Lucha Cantina, that I go to every Wednesday, cause it's a Mexican joint right above where my daughter goes to dance. And I get this thing called the Rio Grande Bowl with patatas on the side. Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible. So patatas, number big one for me.
Okay. By the way, shout out to Chris Ratley in the chat. It says, "Hey Pat, it's Crayfish from back in the day on AP. If you've been a Chiefs fan for a while, Verteram, myself, we all used to hang out and write over at Arrowhead Pride on SB Nation. And there's a lot of us who know each other by screen names and stuff from over 10 years ago, this kind of online Chiefs community. So Crayfish, man, awesome to hear from you. Appreciate you. Now I know your name. I can't remember if I've ever known your name. Maybe I did. But good to see you, brother. Shout out to anybody else who knows us from way back in the day when I was writing articles about Todd Haley. Okay. Number two for me, I got to go quesadillas, man. Like, load me up a nice steak quesadilla. Get that tortilla, you know, fried up in a little bit of oil. Give me a big ass cup of sour cream and guacamole. Let me go to town.
It's fair. I'll go burritos. Yeah. I love a good burrito, chicken burrito, you know, carne asada burrito. You want to get dangerous bean burrito. You just see how things play out for you.
Yeah.
You know, if you're feeling dangerous, I'm a big fan. I love like the rice and bean combination with Mexican food. It's just, it's so good.
Yeah.
So I'll go burritos too.
Okay. Burrito's good. Can be dangerous. Quite large. Sometimes when you see them wrap it up, you're just like, mother of God.
Yeah, you're like, that thing's not going to all fit in there. And then they wrap it and you're like, ooh, you got it to fit.
Yeah.
By the way, Lucas says Chipotle's the goat. Bro, I'm going to Chipotle for dinner tonight, right after I'm done playing pickleball. It's the only place that's open past 10. You better believe I'm hitting it heavy.
Mag's out tonight. I think I'm going to order Chipotle too and watch the tournament. So all three of us. That's everybody digging. It's a Chipotle night. Okay. Number one for me, and this is like way far out in front, chilaquiles, man.
Ooh.
Mag and I went on our honeymoon, and I had never had it before. And the resort had chilaquiles, and I'm like, what is this? And Mag was like, oh, it's like tortilla chips drenched in cheese with like steak or chicken on top and like a verde sauce or a red sauce and eggs. And I was like, why have I never heard of this before? That sounds like the greatest breakfast of all time. And to this day, man, I get it anytime I see it. Absolutely love chilaquiles.
Yeah, so I'm going to just look. I'm going just straight up like nachos with like meat on top, like pork nachos. Yep. Oh my God, man. Those things, I can eat those until I'm ready to explode.
Yeah.
Like to the point where it's becoming a fiscal issue. My wife's like, are you sure? More? More. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're amazing. There's another place actually, different restaurant near me that they do like, they bake. I don't know if they bake them. It's almost like a light fry of potato chips, and then they put like tons of pulled pork on top, and there's like some cheese and some sour cream and some guac. And, oh my God, man! I don't even want to know the calorie content.
Yeah,
I don't want to know.
You know, I'm really,
you know,
I get really upset. There's a sprinkle
at it, so it's got to be healthy.
I get really upset when these restaurants put calories on the menu.
Yeah, stop doing that.
Yeah.
I didn't go there to eat healthy. If I wanted to do that, shit, I would have done it at my own house.
I don't want to know. Like, Mag and I went to breakfast the other day, and I'm sitting there, and it's one of these places with the calories on the menu. And I'm looking, and it was cinnamon roll French toast. And I was like, oh, God, that sounds good. I'm getting that. And then I look, and it's like 1,800 calories. And I'm like, God almighty. And so then I'm like looking at like, well, I could get this skillet. It's only 800. You know, so I didn't get what I wanted because they told me that I was going to die if I got the cinnamon roll pan, basically.
You know, it reminds me of the commentary, not so much the commentary reminds me of, you know, I don't know if you were living in New York at the time. It might have been before you moved out to New York. They came up with a law in New York City that like you couldn't have a certain size of soft drink.
I was there. Yeah.
Okay. And I remember watching, because even though I didn't live in the city, I lived close enough, it was my local news. And you got like these angry, pissed off people in New York who are like, if I want to kill myself, with a 40 ounce Coke.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to kill myself with a 40. And I'll never forget this one guy who, probably looking back, was in like his 50s, was like, I'll show them. I'll just get two Cokes.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And you're like, you know what, man? I kind of see both sides of it, but it's like, yeah, you know, if you want to go to McDonald's and you want to indulge in a large orange soda, you go right ahead. You do what you got to do.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be the one who judges you.
It was Bloomberg, man. Of all the things Bloomberg did in that city, I'm serious. I lived there for 10 years. Of all the things Bloomberg did in that city, stop and frisk, all kinds of things he did that people didn't like, I never heard people bitching
that was the one
than a soda thing. They were losing their minds. And look, you know what? I get it. This is America. All right.
That's right.
People want to, they just want to do what they want to do. They want to be left alone. They don't want anybody telling them you can't buy that size of soda. Personal responsibility, right? Like,
correct.
It's my right. As long as I'm not putting anybody else at risk, you know, yelling fire in a theater or doing something like that.
Yeah.
If I want to go and get the chocolate lava cake 5 nights a week, you know, I'm not going to be here for very long, but at least I'll have a good time.
I'm having a good time while I am.
Right. Right. There's so many things we can't control. You're getting taxed out your eyeballs, you know, all this other stuff you got to deal with the governments and stuff. Let me have my damn orange soda in peace and stop throwing the calorie count in my face. I mean, that's one step away from having somebody come out and just chastise you. Like, why don't you just have somebody come tap you on the shoulder and be like, you know, can I tell you how much, it's like with a big plate of sugar, and they put that down, like, this is how much sugar is in that soft drink. It's like, get out of my face, lady.
I am offended every time people try to tell me at a restaurant, like, hey, you know what? We need healthy. It's like, why the hell are you here? What brought you here? You want to go home and have a Slim Fast? Be my guest.
Yep.
Okay. This is why, honest to God, I play 2 or 3 hours of pickleball every day when I get the opportunity. You know why? Because then I don't care. Yep. I can go to Culver's and get an ice cream 5 nights a week. And guess what's going to happen? Nothing. Yep. I'm not going to lose a whole lot of weight, but I'm not going to gain any either. And at this point in my life, I'm good. Not hanging over my belt, drop 20 pounds, I'm good. Yeah. I don't care. Yeah. If I, you know, like when I go to Culver's, they always have like this, like, you can have 2 toppings and after that, it's 50 cents extra. Like, that 50 cents is going to stop me. Like, right. Every time I go, I'm like, listen, I want the small mixer. And then I'm like, all right, listen, I want Reese's and I want peanut butter sauce. And every time they're like, both of them? Like, yeah, both of them.
Yeah.
And then I want cookie dough and I want Oreo and I want whipped cream. And there's always like, they're like, there's an extra charge. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's $1.50. It's like, but the flip side of that is, it always kills me when I go to a place like a Chipotle or like even a Subway, like an idea of a restaurant that's supposed to be able to eat like somewhat healthy.
Yeah.
And somebody in front of you loads up 5,000 calories worth of food and then goes, yeah, I'll have a Diet Coke though. Bro, you're involved at this point. just get the Coke.
Hey, I mean, it's free. You know, they got to cut somewhere.
You know, I mean, it's like, or like you go to Subway and they load the thing with every caloric creation you can think of. And they're like, yeah, but make sure there's a good amount of lettuce.
Yeah.
Man, look, you passed the point.
Yeah.
Like, and it's okay. I'm not judging. But let's not pretend here like that lettuce is saving things. Like, if you're going to walk out of here and go, yeah, you know, listen, I threw on 3,000 calories worth of Southwest sauce, but hey, got some lettuce mixed in, so we're good. It evens out. No, it doesn't. But if you want to think that, God bless. Go for it.
You know, when I was in high school, they had the school lunch.
Yeah.
You know, my parents would give me whatever, $5 or whatever for lunch every day.
Right.
And then the school had the snack table. And it was just a woman, and it was just like little, there's like zebra cakes and fudge rounds. And then they had like ice cream bars. I'm telling you, man, unless it was Mexican pizza day, I never went. I ate chips, zebra cakes, and those like ice cream bars with like the crunchies on them every day. That's what I spent my money on. And the school knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're like, yeah, set up a snack table. Everybody's sitting here eating chips, drinking Mountain Dew. No wonder there were so many behavioral problems.
Dude, we can wrap here. But when I was in high school, actually all the way through school, because my school was so small, K-12 is in the same building, same cafeteria. So they would hand us out, you know, at the beginning of every month, like, here's the lunch menu. Now, my daughter, when she goes to school, they have three options. Like, they have three different options. I had one option. So it wasn't an option. It was a mandate. This is what you're eating. They had stuff on that menu that if they had on that menu now, there'd be a class action lawsuit by the parents. I mean, how do you feel about something called rib tickler? Because that was on the menu. It was orange meat. To this day, don't know, don't want to know. Mm. We had crunchy beef with nachos. That was another option.
I remember the crunchy beef. We've talked about this before.
That was terrifying. But the one that really, like, when you saw it, your heart dropped like you were about to offload at Normandy was Cook's Choice.
Oh, no.
You're like, man, whatever they got in the back.
What was left, yeah.
That's about to expire or just recently expired. Here it comes.
Yeah.
And you'd always just be thinking, like, just make it something that won't make me violently ill. Like, just like, can it be spaghetti? Like, is how bad could spaghetti go? But then when they'd come out and it was like a Cook's Choice and it was rib tickler, you're like, ooh, I don't think I ought to do it.
Cook's Choice was always like on Fridays, and it was just everything that they had left over from Monday through Thursday, and they made some sort of casserole, like pieces of corn dog in there and mashed potatoes.
Dude, yeah. I remember one year in high school, I think I was a sophomore, if I remember correctly, and they started taking the milk cartons, and instead of like just chilling them, they put them in like, it was like open air, but it was basically like a freezer. So that, like, when you got them, you're like, I can't drink this. It's a block of milk. Like, it was just like ice shavings, essentially. And I remember my one buddy started arguing with one of the lunch ladies about it. He's like, you got to stop doing this. Like, I can't drink the damn thing until like 2 hours later. And then they don't let me leave the cafeteria with it. And she's arguing, oh, they're fine. And he took it. And like, not like in a mean-spirited way, but just to make a point, took it and threw it at the wall. And it just exploded. And there was just ice shavings all over the wall. And he's like, that's supposedly milk. Look at it. Like, that's school lunch right there. There you go.
Oh, man. All right, everybody. Before we get out of here, just a quick review. If you leave us a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts, we will read it on the show. It's a great time of year to do that for us and get some more people to listen to the audio version of the show. From our friend, Zach Farmer, says, great listen. My favorite Chiefs podcast. I really enjoy listening to the guys covering everything Chiefs. Chiefs, keep up the great work, fellas. Appreciate you, Zach. And anybody else, leave us a review over there. If you want a question asked on the podcast, if you ask a good one, we'll answer it next week here on the podcast. We'll have Adam Best next week. Verderam is going to be back at some point, and we're going to get you ready for the draft with Price Carter. We're going to be doing some mock drafts. It's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure you are subscribed and you got notifications turned on, and make sure you head on over to Sports Illustrated, read Matt Verderam's work over there, and we will see you next week. But until then, as always, go Chiefs.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.